we enforce these sort of arbitrary rules on kids. And then we wonder why we get to adults and women have more of a community but can't ever actually share what they're really thinking and big ideas. And men can have big ideas, but they have to do it alone, right?
In this podcast episode, I'm lucky enough to be joined by Jen Lemanlin, who's the host and founder of the wildly successful podcast, Your Parenting Mojo. Jen holds a master's in the psychology of child development, and her podcast has been downloaded well over 3 million times. Amongst other things, Jen is going to offer a perspective if you feel like you're failing as a parent.
Dad Mind Matters, helping men to safely navigate family life without losing their minds. Lived experience podcasts about mental health, parenting and marriage on a Monday, Wednesday and Friday.
I think parenting guilt is huge. And I suppose the only way to resolve it is do the work or commit or say, I'm going to try a different. And I'm not going to get frustrated, or I'm going to try and manage my own emotions and not get cross. Because the minute you get cross, then I feel like you've lost control and you're not going to remedy it from there.
You're not. And the challenge with just saying I'm not going to get cross is that getting cross isn't just related to what's happening in the situation right now. I teach a whole workshop called Taming Your Triggers, which is about like, why do we get triggered by our kids' behavior? And very often what we see is our kid is doing something today that reminds us of something that happened to us when we were a kid that was really difficult, or that we would have been punished for doing when we were a kid. For example, expressing a need, right? Maybe many of us were taught, those of us who are female identifying particularly, but also dads, right? We're taught it's not okay to have needs. It's not okay to express them. Of course, dads are getting more of the messages of be strong, be brave, right? Grow up, be a man. And so particularly when your son maybe is expressing like soft, gentle emotions, like needing care, needing reassurance, needing love and affection, maybe there's a part of you that's thinking, well, yes, I want you to have a full emotional expression and I would have been punished for expressing neediness. And I want you to be successful. And I'm afraid that you won't be if you go out into the world and express neediness. And so all of this stuff is whizzing around in our head at 300 miles an hour. And what comes out is the crossness. So there's so much underneath that. It's really hard to just say, okay, I'm not going to be cross anymore. You actually have to know where that stuff's coming from and start to heal that. And then you end up you don't have to convince yourself not to be cross anymore. It's just that you aren't as cross.
Yeah, that's really insightful. One thing I really struggle with is often my OCD. I get quite distressing, intrusive thoughts. And I really worry that my behavior is going to negatively impact my children. Like for example, yesterday, I struggle with driving and I have to drop my kids off at school and I have to pick them up. That has to happen. My wife's at work. So that's my job. And something as basic as a plastic bag will blow across the road. And in my mind, was that just a plastic bag? Was there something in there? I've just got to manage it because I can't put this onto my children. It's not fair. But I do worry that they went, why is dad taking so long to, he's checked the door 15 times. And it's very difficult because that makes me feel ashamed. And I worry that, is them seeing this going to make them more compassionate to other people? Sorry, that sounds horribly self-indulgent to ask, but
No, I think it's a legit worry, right? It's a legit worry. And I think that's what's behind that is we don't want our children to suffer in the same ways that we have suffered.
Yeah, that's accurate. I'd happily fight all their battles for them. The idea of my son being bullied at school tortures me. I hate that. I'd happily undergo any level of discomfort. And I imagine that's probably shared parents around the world.
And I just want to back up a little bit to what you said about I have to pick up my kids from school. So when we start working at the level of needs, we find strategies to meet multiple people's needs, right? And so you're saying your wife is at work. There's no other option than you pick up your kids. And yet we know you're starting to develop this network of parents who are willing to rely on each other. I am guessing some of them absolutely detest doing things that you like doing. Maybe you're a good cook, right? Maybe you could cook meals for them and they could pick up your kids from school. has to happen. I think when we can tease that apart and see, does it actually have to happen? What creative ways can we imagine that like what the child could get from home to school and back home again? We find so many other potential opportunities that actually end up meeting both of our needs.
I had not thought about that. And I know because quite often there are things that Anna will often say, oh, so-and-so could help with this? Could you do that?
Yeah,
absolutely. Of course.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I wanted to do with the podcast. The whole reason I set up the podcast is because I thought I'm not the only dad out there who struggles with his mental health and is doing the lion's share of the childcare and may feel like he's failing in elements of it. My previous job, I used to work as a seafront officer. So our job was on Brighton Seafront to support the emergency services. And it just startled me how all the mental health related incidents and suicide incidents were men. And I just thought, I've got to do something, especially because I think, and this is a big generalization, but I think women are better at community than men. I think when a woman has a baby, I think it links you to other women who've had children in a way that men can't really get. I feel like a good example of being a dad is that you basically got 30% more work to do with about 20% less energy. But you're ultimately the same person, where I think a woman changes completely.
I think that community aspect is so important. And it goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the conversation. But why does this happen? And I think it goes back to that socialization, that girls are socialized to take care of everybody else first, right? To always make sure you're likable, that you're in a community of other girls, right? Having a best friend is so important. Having a wide group of friends is really important. We socialize girls into that. And so that's one reason why women tend to have more of a community. We socialize boys and men into don't need any help, right? Little boys get teased at school if they are too close to their mothers. That is one way that we socialize boys to separate from other people and to pretend, oh, we don't need any care because I'll get teased if I ask my mom for a hug before she drops me off at work today, before she drops me off at school. And so we enforce these sort of arbitrary rules on kids. And then we wonder why we get to adults and women have more of a community but can't ever actually share what they're really thinking and big ideas. And men can have big ideas, but they have to do it alone, right? You have to do everything alone, because it's not okay to ask for help.
Which is really counterproductive. I've had so much support from complete strangers, other dads around the world, who have just given me a different perspective, just have a conversation. And I've also had situations where I've spoken to other mothers who've just given me a perspective, thought, actually, maybe it's not as bad as I think it is, but it's because my head can be such a terrifying place sometimes. If you haven't got an adult to give you a perspective, you just believe that, yeah, you are failing at this. You're not very good at this. And yeah, that was an absolute disaster. And they go, well, it wasn't a complete disaster.
Yeah. Okay. Can I offer a tool that might help? I know you've done a lot of work on your mental health, and I am not sure if you know this already, but I'm very curious. And your listeners may not know it already. This is a cool magic trick. I have an episode on how to use this magic trick. And so you just talked through a little bit of example, right? Like, I'm a failure. I'm wondering, can you think of a specific example of a time that was really hard and maybe you were thinking that you were a failure? Can you just talk us through that in a sentence or two?
Yeah. My eldest son, who is actually autistic himself, so has genuine issues, and we're learning this process as he's learning with it, won't go to bed. And we give him numerous cues of 10 minutes to go, 5 minutes to go, 2 minutes to go, but irrespective of how many cues we give him, there's a massive meltdown, which ensues with him losing his temper and probably turning the air blue, me getting cross and shouting, him going to bed, and me going to bed feeling awful.
Okay. And when you're going to bed feeling awful, what are you telling yourself? Like, there's some kind of story running through your mind, right, about what happened and what it means. What is that story?
I suppose you just messed it up. You're just not very good at this element of parenting.
Okay. And you're speaking to yourself like that in the third person? You're saying you are not?
Maybe. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And I'm curious, do you notice anything in your body as you're telling me this story? Is anything changing in your body? Is your temperature rising, heart beating faster?
I suppose I just feel a bit sad. I just feel everything feels a bit lethargic and a bit kind of depressed, I suppose. Just a bit overwhelmed by, and I suppose an element of desperation that you have to fix this. You have to help him do this, because I suppose the big fear is that you'll see him as a young adult, and if he's struggling and getting into trouble, you think, well, that's on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I see so many parents doing this, right? We're catastrophizing. We're seeing the thing that's happening right now and we're catastrophizing and thinking of all the things that are going to happen down the line if we don't fix this. You just told me the story of what's happening in your mind. And now I'm going to ask you to tell the story, but insert the phrase, I'm thinking that, beforehand, right? I'm thinking that I'm failing. I'm thinking that if I don't fix this right now, then terrible things are going to happen and he's not going to succeed as an adult, those things. Can you think that to yourself, maybe even say it aloud, and then just see what shifts?
Yeah. So yeah, I'm thinking that I didn't do a very good job of that. I'm thinking that actually I could have done that better. And I'm thinking that if I try a different way, that actually I can help him, give him the life skills. Yeah, that feels completely different. It just feels kinder to myself. It's just...
Yes. Funny that, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm certainly not very nice to myself. And sorry, yeah, I'm telling my life story. It's not supposed to be about me. But I think a lot of parents, I'm sure a lot of parents beat themselves up. And no one tells you what parenting is going to be like. And you can only do your best with the resources and the situation you find yourself in.
Yes, you can. And our culture says if you're like the thing that you need is information and then you apply willpower. I'm going to do this. I'm going to tell myself not to be cross, and then I'm not going to be crossed. And then you will get results. And if you're not getting the results and you have the knowledge, then clearly you don't have enough willpower. And we don't learn like that. We don't process things like that. And
no.
So instead, what you did was when you inserted the phrase, I'm thinking, what you did is you created a little bit of separation between you and your thoughts, right? Previously, what you were saying was, these things are happening. I am a failure. My child is going to have these terrible outcomes if I don't fix this. And it's like that becomes our reality. That becomes the reality. And when we insert the phrase, I'm thinking that, we create a bit of separation between us and what are frankly just electrical signals moving into our brains. And we think, okay, is it possible there's another explanation here? Is there something else that could be happening here? Is it possible that just because he's not going to bed tonight, that doesn't mean he's going to be a failure down the line, right? And when we have that separation, very often we can see, okay, now I can cope with this. This is not as bad as I thought it was, when it seemed as though this is the only truth and this is the only reality.
Wow, that's a light bulb moment for me. And I really hope that I know it will help other mums and dads who listen. So thank you. That's huge, because I think that will really help me and him. And also the way he speaks, because sometimes he can be a bit like that. And I worry, have he picked this up from me? Are you a bit not good at this? I'm like, you are, actually. It's the whole don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah. And the bigger thing underneath that is, why doesn't he want to go to bed? There's a reason for it. Right now, we don't know what the reason is. We don't know what his need is. When we understand his need, is he playing computer games with friends, right? He's looking for connection with people who actually get him. Is he just not tired? What do you think is his need?
Yeah. I think also, we only found out he's got autism 2 years ago. And I think you have to learn. There's a part of you that feels suddenly, I'm thinking that I might have been guilty. You feel guilty about, well, I haven't supported you for the 4 years or 5 years I didn't know you had autism. So, well, I can't backdate guilt. I can't feel guilty because I only just found this out. And actually, in some ways, it explains a lot. And the way we talk to him about it is that in some ways you have a genuine superpower, and he has an element of compassion that is like no other in our family. When my father died, he could pick up, and he can do it with people. He can pick up on elements in the room. And I just think, how did you know that person was feeling like that? And that's how we rebranded it, that, okay, yeah, the term is autism, but actually you're going to have connections with people because you're going to really understand them in a way that lots of people don't. And I've been always very open. I said, but you really got me through a dark time because you understood. And I'll never forget that.
Yeah. And so obviously we don't want to have him carry the emotional weight of the family in a way that isn't appropriate, right?
No.
We're not doing that. But that is such an incredible gift and such an unusual autistic gift, I think. Many of us struggle with, like, what is the other person thinking and feeling? And also that's such a feminine coded skill, right? That's a skill that women are supposed to be good at. And so part of the work with him is going to be helping him to figure out, how do I present myself in a world where I'm not going to maybe be rewarded for having this skill? How am I going to be in the world with this skill in a way that the world can actually receive and also that feels really good to me?
Yeah, I suppose I want him to be appreciated, and I think he will be for the skills that he has. And I think the reason he struggled is that he's in a class of boys who are very macho, play football. I don't think he really wants to play football, but he's just worked out that that's a way in to having friendship. I've challenged that. I said, well, there's lots of boys who don't like football. I don't like football. You know, there'll be lots of people who have more your interest. It's just you've got to find them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they may not be at school, right? They may be somewhere else.
I really hope you got something from this podcast. And if you're going through or have gone through a mental health issue and you found a way to make your life slightly easier and you want to share that story, please contact me. And I know it's a massive ask because no one's got any spare time, but I'm really trying to get this podcast out there. So if you have 2 minutes to leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, that would be hugely appreciated. I hope wherever you are in the world, you're okay. Take care of yourself. My book, First Time Dad, A 42-Week Guide to Pregnancy, is available in Kindle and paperback form on Amazon and an audiobook form on Audible. To sign up for my monthly newsletter, please visit my website, www.dadmindmatters.com.